I have learned that if I wish to do business with honest people, I must be an honest person. I have learned that if I wish to do business with honest people, I must be an honest person. That's worth repeating. I have learned that if I wish to do business with honest people, I must be an honest person. Now, you say, well, that's a foredrawn conclusion. That's obvious. It's not what you think it is. If I wish to do business with honest people, I must be an honest person. That isn't just in your business relationships. That's in your relationship first with yourself. Do you keep your promises? Do you always do everything you say you're going to do, whatever it may be? If you don't do it, or you're not going to do it, don't say it. Don't be dishonest to yourself and to your world. Don't say, I'm going to drink my glass of milk, and then forget it. When you get your mind off on something else, and you go, hey, but that's only a glass of milk. Yeah. It's something that you are. It is an idea that you are. You're a glass of milk, you know that? You're important. Every single thing you think is important. Every single thing you conjure in your mind to consider as something that you consider. Now, do you look at the dog and say, I wonder if the dog's going to follow me home? And then the dog doesn't follow you home. Why doesn't the dog follow you home? Because you doubted it. You said the dog is not going to follow me home. You say, I wonder if the dog's going to do his duty in the right place. And then you lie, because you don't think he's going to do it in the right place. You look around, you watch the dog every time he goes someplace to see if he does his potty wrong, so you can run him outside. You don't trust yourself. You speak your word, and then you don't believe in yourself. You say, I wonder if the egg is going to be well fried when I'm done, you know. It's going to be just perfect. Hey, don't doubt yourself. I am a perfect cook. I always cook perfect eggs. But Herb, those are so silly things. Those are not silly things. Those are the initial activity of putting thoughts in motion for yourself. That is being master of your thoughts under all circumstances. Under all circumstances. Do you love your husband? Do you trust your husband? Well, you better get a divorce right away. Because if you trust your husband, that means you don't trust yourself. Because why should you trust your husband? Your husband is going to do everything exactly like he is the man you married in a beautiful and a wonderful way. He's going to be fantastic as he is because that's his nature. Now, do you trust yourself? If you were out and you ran into some handsome man and they asked you to go to dinner, would you go with him? That's all perfectly okay. We're not going to do anything. What do you mean you're not going to do anything? Who's thinking you're going to do something? You are. You're thinking that something more might come of this. You're thinking that something might come out of this. You see, you're dishonest in your thought. And do you think that your wife is a good lady and that she's not entertaining the milkman and the vacuum cleaner man and all these people who come to the door? My goodness, those men must be very busy men. If they did all the things that people think they do, they would be very busy men. I don't know if they have the capacity to do that. But again, that's our thoughts. Now, why is it happens? Because it's our thought. Does it always happen? Well, not really, because a lot of times we change our thought midstream. One minute we think this way, another minute we think that way, another minute we think another way, and then we wonder why we're dishonest, totally dishonest with ourselves. We say, I am a definite person. When I make up my mind, I do it. Well, why is it only when you make up your mind? Why don't you always do it? Why don't you always speak positive words about yourself, about your world, why don't I always speak? I don't mean you. I don't need to talk about you. I can talk about me. Why don't I always speak positive words about everything I do? Why don't I say there's always sufficient money to handle all the things that we'd like to do? Not only that we're independently wealthy, but there's always sufficient money to do anything we want to do. Why don't I always say, I'm surrounded by beautiful monks who are dedicated to being a monk, who are dedicated to their spiritual path, and they don't feel sorry for themselves because they have to follow the path that they agreed to follow. Ooh, isn't that something? Why do I do that? Why do I say that only a few good men, only a few arrive at their master consciousness at the end of any given period of time? Is that the case? Of course not. Does that need to be the case? No. Does that appear to be the case? No. Then why are you talking about it? Well, that's just what comes up occasionally in conversation. We should never have it come up in conversation. Now, you are a blank, blah, 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 mom, a little child says to his mommy. Mommy says, come here, son. And she says, open your mouth. And she sticks a bar of soap in his mouth. She says, I'm going to wash those words right out of your mouth. You're not going to say those words again, are you? Blah, blah, blah. You see, instantly, we have to wash those words right out of our mouth, figuratively, or symbolically, or actually. I don't remember my mother ever washing my mouth out with soap, but she promised to do it if any of us kids used bad language. And I don't know that any of us did use bad language. Now, that was a good promise. But you see, it's a symbol. It's a symbol that means keep your thoughts clean, keep your words pure, keep everything about you beautiful. Now, how many of you had mothers that cared enough about you to make sure that every little aspect of your being was perfect, that you followed through on everything that you agreed to do, that you were honest? How many of your parents wished you to be honest and wanted you to be honest and desired you to be honest and themselves were dishonest, huh? Interesting, huh? And why were they dishonest? They were dishonest because they said, tell them at the door that I'm not home. They're dishonest because they say, tell them on the telephone, your mother's not here right now. They're dishonest when they say, go down to the grocery store and say that, you know, you're a little short of cash and you'd like to have a little bit of help and that we're going to pay for it later. And you don't intend to pay for it. You go from one grocery store to another grocery store who'll give you credit until you finally get it. I remember those days. Those were the days of the Depression. Those were the days when people got food however they could. But the honest people, and there were lots of them, the honest people always had food. The honest people always had sufficiency of everything. Because they lived in their honest consciousness. Now, I've learned that if you wish to do business with honest people, I have to be an honest people. Now, how can I be an honest person? I am an honest person by every word I speak. I am an honest person by every idea that comes into my mind. I am an honest person when I look out and I say, isn't that a beautiful morning? And I mean it. I don't wish that it were a beautiful morning. I mean it. The rain is coming down. The thunder and hail are there. And I mean it's a beautiful morning. Hey, that's cool. How many mornings do you have with thunder and hail and rain coming down? You know? That's a cool morning. Of course, you go down to, where is that, in Hawaii? And one place in Hawaii, 54 feet of rain a year. 54 feet? We're talking inches. And those people, when it's a beautiful sunny day, they say, wow, what a beautiful sunny day. In between the rain clouds. But again, they're honest about it. Those people don't have to live there. They want to live there. They choose to. They could migrate to another part of the island. The island has been empty, and their tribes or whoever is living there, if anybody's living there, maybe nobody lives in that particular area where they have 54 inches of rain every year. Wow. And then they say the river overfloods its banks and floods the towns and floods the street. Hey, it doesn't have to. It can overflood its banks and carry that residual soil with it and make a blanket of that beautiful black soil that is picked up everywhere and spread it over the farmland. It doesn't have to go into the towns. The towns can be built up just a little bit so that the river, when it's at its high point, would never go there. Why did anyone build a town where the river could flood it? Silly. They could have built it up a little higher because there's always upper levels, but people like to be next to the river. They want their house next to the river. And then John and Mary want their house next to the river. And George and Pietro, Mariella and whoever want their house next to the river. And pretty soon, you got a village. And then with a village, then you got business. You got offices, and you got the bakery and the grocer and all the other people moving in, you know? And they're all down right there at the valley. Then they say, oh dear, the river's going to flood, and it's going to, why did you build there? You could have built a little further up, but it's so pretty here most of the year. Well, that's the way it is. If it's pretty here, build your houses up a little bit. You know, build your houses, but and you can't have a basement. You just don't build a basement under the house, because if you build a basement, it'll get flooded. And it'll rot and stink through your whole house. So build your whole house up maybe 5 feet above what might be the flood level. And then if the flood level comes, whoosh, it comes through, and then you clean the streets and you're back. Hey, be honest. Be honest. You expected yourself to get flooded. You expected, you could, hey, does the stream ever change its course? Have you ever known a stream to change its course? Yes, often. Streams throughout history have changed their course. Look at the Grand Canyon. The stream of the Grand Canyon goes this way and this way and that way. And just look at the Mississippi River. It goes this way and that way and around and about. Look at the Missouri. The Missouri has enough tributaries that it could, you know, choke a cat. But it's everywhere. And people who live by this river, they could say, the river is always doing its perfect thing going by our community. And it could. It could have another little tributary go out his way and carry the floodwaters. Hey, I'm making an illustration here. I'm saying you can be honest with yourself. Be honest with everything you do. Because you want certain things in your life. Well, surround yourself with the pure white light of love. Surround yourself with the pure white light of goodness and peace and joy and harmony and love. And you got it. You got everything. But be honest. Don't go around telling people that you doubt and then say, it wasn't my fault that it didn't work. Don't go around telling people that you hope to get the car to work, or they hope to get the computer to work. You hope to get the partition in under control in the computer. You hope to do this. No, there's no hope about it. I know I can do it. If I make enough phone calls and get the right answers, I know I can do it. I'll get it too, because I intend to be persistent. You follow me? But if you say, well, we'll have to leave this way, it's not going to work this way, don't ever, ever, ever say to me, it won't work. Why? Because I will say, that's right, and have fun. Have fun not having it work. Have fun going through your consciousness and having searching out the answer and never coming up with it, and the answer is right here. It's like piece of gum under the table or under the chair, you know. It's just stuck right there waiting for you to be aware of it. But you didn't open up your eyes to it because you said, I can't do it. I don't know where it is. You know? Did you ever pull up your chair and feel something under the chair and you say, oh my goodness, here's that stamp I was looking for. I wonder how it got down there. Or here's whatever, you know? Because this is the way spirit works. And this is in your spirit. You create yourself to be sort of charming and unique and unusual because you find that very, very, very wonderful. But be in charge of yourself. Every single word you speak. Now, Ellen is going to go into the dentist or something or other today. Now, what's the dentist going to do to you? Is he going to look at you and say, Mrs. Jeremini, you are an amazing woman. Every time I look at you, you are months ahead of schedule on your improvement, on your perfection of your teeth and so forth. You are fabulous. I don't know, Mr. Jeremy, I think I should put your picture up on the wall as an example to the rest of the patients here to realize that a happy Pollyanna attitude is a real winner. And Mrs. Jeremy, would you mind if I have an interview with you? I have an interview with you in front of all of our patients, and then I make a videotape of that interview. And I put that interview on the screen here to play continuously in my office so that everyone who comes into the office sees your harmonious, successful, wonderful attitude being expressed. And they can listen to that and they can say, yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, doc, take it, do it. You're great. I believe in you. It's wonderful. All is done, you know. And then two-thirds of the patients who are very receptive, they say, oh, I'm whole and perfect. Goodbye, doc. And they're whole and perfect. No need for it. But that's the truth. We return to our original purity and integrity. That's our wholeness and perfection. Now, why should we return? In awareness. We're always there, but we don't know it. So let's be honest with ourselves in every area of our life. And when we're honest with ourselves, then you will see that everybody in the world is honest with themselves, because we created them in our world, and only honest people can be in our world. Could you live that? Would you like to live that? Are you ready to live that? Is that who you are?
Yeah.
Well, why bother listening to me then? I love you. I can inherit wealth, but not wisdom. You understand that?
Yes.
I can inherit wealth, but not wisdom.
Yes.
Why can I inherit wealth, but not wisdom? Because wealth is
transferable.